Morning. Today's Daf and Sotah is Mem Aleph. We are on Mem Amud Beis, very, very top of the Amud. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is on the Zeichon Nishmas Libba Gabriela Bashmua. Okay, Birchus Kohanim was the topic of discussion for the last couple of days. Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches. Sorry. Started really on Lamed Ches. Lamed, yeah, on the bottom of Lamed Zayin. Lamed Ches, Lamed Ches, and Mem are the sugyas relating to Birchas Kohanim. And we're about to finish the sugya and start the new sugya. We just have a little bit more to go in terms of Birchas Kohanim. So, B'mikdash Bracha Achas, in the base of Mikdash, they are one bracha. Okay, that heading was found on the very tail end on Mem Amud Aleph. Now we turn to Mem Amud Beis. We don't answer Amen in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the reason why three Pesukim are really one Pesuk in the Beis HaMikdash is simply because there's no break in between, as opposed to outside the Beis HaMikdash where the minhag is to answer Amen. So therefore, after every Pesuk, after every Bracha of the Kohen, so we answer Amen, so it comes out into three. But nevertheless, in the Beis HaMikdash where there's no Amen, So really it's converted into one. There is some form of aniyah. There is some sort of response in the Beis HaMikdash. Tosfos is bothered by that. See the first Tosfos on the Amud for a discussion of why is there no aniyah whatsoever? Why is there no response whatsoever in the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, that becomes a discussion. But in the meantime, however, just back to the Gemara. Top line of Mem Amud Beis, Lafi She'en Onim Amen B'Mikdash. Shana Rabbanim, we learned on a Braisa, Minayin She'en Onim Amen B'Mikdash and Emmer. Kumo Vrachas Hashem Alkechem in Olam V'ad Olam, Minayin She'al Kol Brachu Bracha Tehillah. With every bracha, there's praise. Shenemar v'yivarchu shem kvodecha. Omeromim al kol bracha osihila, al kol bracha obracha tenlo osihila. So there has to be tehillah. So v'yivarchu shem kvodecha. Take a look at the Rashi over here on the Gemara, the last Rashi on the Gemara. Shar am yanu baruch shem kvod machzoli olam. Sham onim lahalel ulahodo. So there is a response of praise, but not amen. We don't answer amen. So that's the source from the Navi that teaches us that we don't answer Amen in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, the question then becomes, why don't we at least break four Baruch Shem between each one of the brachas? So, again, Tosfos discusses that. Rashi does not discuss that issue. Excuse me. Let's return now back to the Mishnah. And now we start a new topic. A new topic in the seventh parak of the Masechta. And that is the topic of the Birchas Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is going to be giving a bracha to the Jewish people. He does so, as you can well imagine, one time a year. And that, if you can also imagine, that one time a year is Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, he goes to the Avodah. The description of the Avodah Yom Kippur is dedicated to a Masechta. It's called Yuma. I'm sure you knew all that already. That's not news. The Mishnah over there in Yuma, as our Mishnah over here, so it is going to describe now, is that at the end of the Avodah Yom Kippur, so the Kohen Gadol is going to make a tefillah. Okay, it's going to be like a Shmona Esrei. It's not a Shmona Esrei. It's not going to be made up of 18 brachas. It's Yontif anyway, and Yontif we don't do 18 brachas. We do on Yontif 8 brachas. But over here, there's a nusach, a special nusach of a version of Shmona Esrei that's said by the Kohen Gadol at the conclusion of the Avodah on Yom Kippur. So Birchas Kohen Gadol Keitzan. So in getting to this, how is it done? So Chazan Knesset's Notel Sefer Torah. So the Gabbai of the Shul is going to be taken. When I say the Shul, I mean the Shul, meaning the one that was proximate to the Beis HaMikdash. So he would take the Sefer Torah v'nosa lo Rosh HaKnesses, and he would give it to the Rosh HaKnesses. Rosh HaKnesses nosa l'skan, and then the Rosh HaKnesses were handed over to the deputy Kohen Gadol. V'askan nosa Kohen Gadol, and he would then give it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol omed umekaba v'kori. Now he would stand up, which gives the indication that he was sitting prior to that point in time. The Gemara later on is going to ask the question. You're not allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. So he would get up, he would receive the Torah, and he would start reading from the Sefer Torah. What parsha would he be reading? Well, it's not so hard to figure out. It is Yom Kippur. He's going to be reading in Yana Diyuma. He's going to be reading about, literally in this case, in Yana Diyuma, the topic of Yom Kippur. So he's going to read from Achrei Moshe, and he's going to read from Ach Besor. So he's reading from Parshas Achrei Moshe, the first Aliyah of Achrei Moshe that describes the Avodah of Yom Kippur. He's then going to go to Parshas Amor, which is short, let's say, seven prakim later, in terms of a Sefer Torah, a couple rolls of the Sefer Torah later, and then the Golos HaTorah, and then the Galila, then you would close the Sefer Torah, Omenicha Becheko, and put it in his lap, V'omer Yosem Mimashe Karisi, Lefnechem Kasav Khan. He says, there's more in here. and he's about to read the next parsha in the Torah. Uva asur shebechumash pekudim. He's going to be reading from Parshas Pinchas, which deals with the karbanos that are burned Yom Kippur. And that the Mishnah describes Kol Ra'apeh, that he's going to be reading Alpeh. And then, after having read the Sefer Torah, now he's going to make a special bracha of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and that he's going to do in 8 brachos. Okay, just, the Gemara is going to discuss it in more detail, but just briefly to summarize the points of the Mishnah before we go through the 8 brachos. And that is that basically there's a Kriyas HaTorah in Yom Kippur, done by the Kohen Gadol. In the Beis HaMikdash. We're exactly in the Beis HaMikdash, so stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly where we are in the Beis HaMikdash. This special Kriya of the Kohen Gadol is basically Inyana Diyuma, meaning all the parts of the Torah that deal with Yom Kippur. There are 3. One in Achrei Mos, which details the Avodah. 2 is in Parshas Hamor, it's Perichav Gimel, in Sefer Vayikra. So that deals with the Yontif of the... Yeah, the Yontif of Yom Kippur, and then finally in Chumash HaPikudim in Parshas Pinchas. So there's it deals with the Karbanos of Yom Kippur. So he's going to be reading from all 3. 2 of them he's reading inside, and the 3rd one he's reading Baal Peh. He's reading by heart for reasons which we're going to articulate in the Gemara. That's the Kriyas HaTorah that's done by the Kohen Gadol. After that, he's now going to make a Shemona Esrei, and they are going to be 8 brachos composed of the following. We're back to the Mishnah. Let's look at the Mishnah inside. Varech Alev Shemona Brachos Al HaTorah. So Al HaTorah, as the Gemara later on will explain, that's the classic bracha that we make at the end of an Aliyah. Al HaAvodah, what we would call Ritzei. Al HaOdaya, we call the bracha of Modim. Al Mechilas HaAvon. Mechilas HaAvon is, says Rashi, the Nusach of the middle bracha of Yom Kippur, which basically describes Yom Kippur as being a day of forgiveness. Ve'al ha-mikdash v'yisrael v'al kohanim. Brachas now 5, 6, 7 are, one is on the base of Mikdash, 5 is on the base of Mikdash, 6 is for Klal Yisrael, and 7 is for the kohanim. And finally, I'm sorry, I messed up my count. Torah vod al adai mechilas avon. No, al ha-mikdash v'yisrael v'al kohanim v'al Yerushalayim. Okay. No, we were good. So another on the Mikdash, another on Yisrael, and another on the Kohanim, the Al Yerushalayim, the Hashar Tefillah. I'm sorry, that was 5, 6, 7, and 8. The Hashar Tefillah, and then Shar Tefillah. Shar Tefillah, not Shar with an ayin, but Shar with meaning, and the rest of it. So Hashar Tefillah and the rest of it's Tefillah. The Gemara is going to explain what that term means at the end of the Mishnah. Okay. Adkan, that takes us through the Mishnah of Birchas Kohanim, a number of topics that the Gemara is going to bring up. Number 1, says the Gemara, Shamas Minachokin Kavala Tama Bemakum Arav, a discussion that takes place in the Gemara in Baba Basra. Rashi here quotes it. On Daf Kuf Yates in Baba Basra. And that is the following. We know that there's an idea that you have to honor your Rav. You have a Rav, you have to give honor to your Rav. Let's say there is a hierarchy within your whatever organization, institution, base measure, shul. Let's say there's a hierarchy. Can you give kavod to somebody who's underneath your Rav or underneath the leader? Right. Let's just keep this nice and simple. Right. You have a first in command. You have a second in command. Whatever the institution is, we're talking about. In this case, we're talking about Kohen Gadol. But you have a first in command. You have a second in command. Can I give honor to the second in command in front of the person who's the first of command? Okay, that's the question. The Gemara in Baba Basra deals with it, debates it, and our Mishnah seems to tip its cap in the direction of it's not a problem. Because consider what happened in our Mishnah. We're going to be giving the Sefer Torah to the Kohen Gadol, but before doing so, we first give it to the Chazan, we give it to the Gabbai, then we give it to the Rosh HaKnesses. Okay, I didn't point out, by the way, Rashi in the Mishnah details exactly what the responsibilities are. But clearly it's a hierarchy within the shul structure. So the Chazan is at is the low man on the totem pole, and then the Rosh HaKnesses is above him. Obviously the Skan, the deputy Kohen Gadol, is above him, and at the top of the totem pole is going to be the Kohen Gadol. So what we're doing is we keep handing the Sefer Torah to the one below, the one above, the one above, and we're honoring the person even though his his higher up is right there. sounds like from the Mishnah, this is not a problem whatsoever. So Amar Abayi, Kula Mishum Kvoda to Kohen Gadol. So Abayi says, no, you don't have to understand the Mishnah that way, and the Mishnah may not necessarily agree with the premise that you can give honor to somebody in front of somebody above him. Maybe you can't. Maybe over here, the whole reason why we're handing off the Sefer Torah from the Chazan to the Rosh HaKnesses to the Skan to the Kohen Gadol is merely all out of respect for the Kohen Gadol. Meaning, basically, Rashi's explanation, basically what we're saying is, look who the Kohen Gadol is above. He's above him, above him, above him. All this is a means of honoring the Kohen Gadol. So Abayi says, nothing can be deduced from our Mishnah. The Kohen Gadol, Mekav V'Kori, the Kohen Gadol takes the Sefer Torah, he reads the Sefer Torah. Omein Mechal Di Yoshevu. The Ha'amar Mar Ein Yeshiva Bazara. Now it sounds, when the Mishnah describes him standing up, what does it sound like? Sounds like he was sitting before standing. So sitting in the Azara, in the temple courtyard, you can't do that. In fact, the Gemara quotes, "Ein yeshiva ba'azara el l'malchi beis David b'van." The only one who could sit in the azara is only malchi beis David. Shenemar, "Vayavo amelch David v'yashav lifnei Hashem," and the king sat lifnei Hashem. "V'yomer mi anochi." So you clearly have over here this idea that the only one who's allowed to sit is malchus beis David. It is interesting that of the two, meaning we're talking about the leadership of the Jewish people, Kohen Gadol has no right to sit. And immediately when the Mishnah is giving some indication that Kohen Gadol was sitting, the Mishnah immediately reacts. And meanwhile, the Malchus Beis David is allowed to sit. It's a little bit strange, meaning why is there a special heter dispensation given to the Malchus Beis David? So if you take a look at Rashi over here quotes in Yeshiva Bazar, the Ein Kavod Shemayim Bekach Vafilu Malach Hesharis Ein Lahem Sham Yeshiva. Rashi takes this idea from the physical to the metaphysical. Rashi says that, first of all, the reason why we don't sit in the Azara is because it's not Kavod Shemayim. In other words, it's not a place that we should be sitting. It's a Makom Yira, it's a place of awe and reverence and fear. And there's just simply no sitting. In fact, Rashi goes one step further. Rashi says even the malachim don't sit. Okay, to the best of our understanding, but the idea is nobody's sitting in the azara. So ein lahem sham yeshiva. Dechsev omdim imal lo kavas al chad min kamei. Quotes a pasuk from Daniel. Not even the malachim sit. Malchus beis David. The next Rashi shechalak lahem amakum kavod larisha malchuso shlema. Right, it is a sign that the malchus is intact, meaning yeshiva is it gives a sense of stability, of permanence, of shlemus. So the malchus is sitting. It's not a function of the melech, although maybe you could argue it is, but the way Rashi describes it, it's really a function of the malchus, meaning we want to know that the monarchy is settled. How do we know the monarchy is settled? And when you see the Melch Yisrael, the king of Israel, sitting in the Azara, so you know the malchus is shlemus. That's how Rashi describes why a special dispensation is handed out to the melech that he could sit. It's really a reflection not of him, but of the malchus in general, the monarchy of the Jewish people.
So the
melech
doesn't get the Sefer Torah?
So that's next. That's the next Mishnah. Right now we're just talking about the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. So right, in the handing off to the Kohen Gadol, the melech is not included. But the melech getting a Sefer Torah, that's coming up later. Okay, so in the meantime, however, good. So this is we have a problem right now, because our Mishnah gives the indication that the Kohen Gadol was sitting in the Azara, and it can't be. It does not happen. So the Gemara goes on to answer. So Kedam Rav Chista Bezos Nashim Hachanami Bezos Nashim. So later today we're going to see Rav Chista answers a similar question with the answer that Azara means Ezra's Nashim. So here we're going to borrow his answer and we're going to use it for our Mishnah as well. Our Mishnah, when describing the Kohen Gadol reading the Sefer Torah, so we assumed that it was happening in the Azara, in the actual temple courtyard, where you're not allowed to sit. The Gemara now, using Rav Chista's answer, says no, it occurred in the Ezra's Hanashim. Ezra's Hanashim is right outside the Azara, but in, even though it's called Ezra, but it's not the Azara proper. It does not have the status of Machane Shechina. It's the status of Har Habayis. It's Machane Leviyah. You're allowed to sit in Machane Leviyah. That could be the answer to the question. Makes for the Gemara is going to challenge. Beichan Korin Beazara Belaz Ben Yaakov Omer BeHar Habayis. So here we have a debate in the Brice in terms of where the Kohen Gadol is going to be reading. So either the Tanakhama's opinion is the Azara, or Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says Har Habayis. Shenemar v'ikar bo lifnei Rechov asher lifnei Shar HaMayim. Quoting a pasuk from Nehemiah describing how when Ezra was reading Lifnei HaRechov, in front of the street, in front of Shar HaMayim, which is in the Ezros Nashim, but not in Har Abayis. In the meantime, however, according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, the Kohen Gadol would be reading in the Azara. So we were suggesting earlier that no, Azara didn't mean Azara, it meant Ezros Nashim. So Am Rav Chista BeEzros Nashim. Okay, here we have Rav Chista's answer. Rav Chista's answer is that even though the Braisa uses the word Azara, actually the Braisa is making a reference to Ezros Nashim, which again is not the Azara, it's in Har Abayis, has the status of Har Abayis, and so this again resolves our issue of how the Kohen Gadol could be sitting there. The Kore Achremos V'Achbas or Uriminu. The Gemara over here has the following discussion. This discussion, identical, is repeated three times in Shas. It's here, it's in Yuma, it's in Megillah, and it basically goes like this. Medalgam Navi ve'medalgam Torah. You are allowed to skip in Navi and you're not allowed to skip in Torah. Now, keep in mind that when we're talking about both reading from the Torah and from the Navi, we're talking about obviously from a sefer, meaning from a klaf. Not what we do, our minhag nowadays, so some have the minhag of reading Navi from a klaf, but our minhag is to read from a chumash, from a Tanakh. Anyway, they read from a klaf, which means that it was rolled, like our Sefer Torah, and if you wanted to jump to another place, so you'd have to actually roll the Sefer Torah. So, medalgam Navi ve medalgam Torah. So we start off with the Braisa. The Braisa says that when it comes to Navi, so you could jump around. When it comes to the Sefer Torah, you cannot jump around. So how can our Kohen Gadol go from Achrimos to Parshas Emor to Parshas Pinchas? You're jumping around. Amar Abai lo kasha kam bechdei sheyifsek hatorgaman kam bechdei shelo yafsek hatorgaman. So the Gemara now opens up with the following distinction. There's no problem with jumping per se. Jumping per se is not an issue. The issue is dead time. We don't want any dead time in the shul. In this case, we're in the base of Mikdash, but we're in the Ezros Nashim. But we don't want any dead time. We know, we just learned the other day, that every time you'd read a pasuk, so the Torgamon would explain. And the same thing is true when the Kohen Gadol was reading, he would read the pasuk and the Torgamon would go on to explain. If you can move to the next section and there'd be no lapse and there'd be no dead time, so that's fine. So to go from Achrimos to Parshas Emor, so you're still in Sefer Vayikra. Achrimos is about halfway through. Parshas Emor is about six prakim later. It's a couple rolls of the Sefer Torah. It's not a problem. The Kohen will be finished reading the last pasuk of Achrimos. Then, not the whole parsha, just the first aliyah. But he'll read the end of the section of Achrimos. The Torgamon will be translating, and by the time the Torgamon will finish, we will be rolled to Parshas Emor, and there will be no dead time. The problem then becomes to go from Parshas Emor to Parshas Pinchas. That's a big jump. That's going from Vayikra to the end of Bamidbar, and probably there'll be a lapse. There'll be some dead time, and the Gemara says, and that's why over there we don't skip. So the Gemara then quotes the Braisa, but the Braisa says that in the Navi you're allowed to skip, but in the Navi it can only be a skip long enough or far enough where there will be no break whatsoever. But what the Braisa indicates is that this idea that there could be no dead time is specific to Navi. It sounds like from the Braisa that when it comes to Torah, you can't skip at all. Mechlal, the Gemara makes this point. Mechlal de Betorah, klal klal lo. Sounds like you can't skip at all in the Sefer Torah. El Amar Abai lo kasha kam b'yinecha kam b'shnei inyanim. So now Abai introduces another variable, and that is that you are allowed to skip in the Torah, and you're not allowed to skip. I'm sorry, let's do it the other way. You're allowed to skip in the Navi, but you're not allowed to skip in the Torah. That's talking about when jumping topics. In the Navi, not only can you skip, but you can also jump from topic to topic. You can move to a new topic. Okay. When it comes to the Torah, you can skip, but, and there are two buts included over here. But number one, the skip can't have any dead time, meaning you can only jump far enough where I can get to the next section and the Torgamon Torgamon will have been completing his explanation. But if there's any lapse between the Torgamon and where I want to go to, you can't do that. And two is that in the Sefer Torah, I can only jump as long as we're staying on topic. We can't jump from one topic to another. Why not? So Rashi over here explains, because in the Sefer Torah, reading every word and understanding every word becomes of critical importance. Sefer Torah has mitzvos. You have to hear the mitzvos. You have to understand the mitzvos. So if you're jumping from one topic to another topic, confusion abound. You may misunderstand a mitzvah in doing so. So therefore, by a Sefer Torah, you cannot jump around from one topic to another topic. In the Navi, so it's not great, but it's not the end of the world. It's not devastation if you're jumping around. In the Navi, the Navi's not there to provide mitzvahs of the Torah. The Navi there is to give us Musar, to give us basic corrective means in terms of how we should live our lives. But it's not mitzvahs of the Torah, so that's why... Says Rashi, we have this basic distinction between a Chumash and a Navi. V'hatanya, Rashi points out that this is now going to support exactly what we just said. That when it comes to the Torah, you can jump around as long as you're staying on topic. However, when it comes to Navi, you can go from topic to topic. And keep in mind, both of the times, meaning both in the Torah and in the Navi, when we do jump, it can't be any dead time. It can only be a far enough jump where it's a seamless transition from the Torgamon translating to the next part that we're reading. Now, even in the Navi, you can jump from one Navi to another Navi. So even though we do have more latitude when it comes to the Navi, but you can't move around from Navi to Navi, V'navi shol shnei masar medalgin. However, when it comes to Treyasar, so there you can jump around. Treyasar is viewed really as one collective. So the only thing is, you can't go backwards. You can only jump forwards. You can only skip forwards. Okay, so that's your basic rules of jumping. So now let's apply to what we know regarding the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Regarding the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, so that explains now what the Mishnah described. We're going from Achrimos to Emor. That's fine, because we're staying on topic, and it's a short enough jump where there won't be any lag. Then the Kohen Gadol is going to be reading from Parshas Pinchas. That's a problem. That's a problem because the topic is still describing the Karbanos Yom Kippur, so the topic is good. The problem is the time. You simply will not be able to roll the Sefer Torah fast enough to get from Achrimos to Parshas Pinchas without there being some dead time, and that you're not allowed to do. So that's why now what the Kohen Gadol is going to do is he's going to roll the Sefer Torah and read the next Parsha by heart. Excuse me. Now, what the Gemara is explaining over here is the proclamation that was made by the Kohen Gadol before he reads from Parshas Pinchas. What does he say? The Mishnah actually gives us the formula. I'm just reviewing what the Mishnah taught us. After he rolls the Torah, he says, he makes the following declaration: Yoser mimashe karisa lefnechem, more than what I read, kasuv kan. It's written over here, meaning, you know, there's more here, and I'm going to read it. Why does he make that proclamation? So the Gemara's explanation is shelo lahotzi lazal sefer Torah, because what just happened? We just rolled the sefer Torah up, and now he's reading the rest of it by heart. I could have understood it to mean, oh, something's wrong with that sefer Torah. It's got to be. Meaning, what they just do? They just rolled the Sefer Torah. Oh, it must be the Sefer Torah's puzzle. So the declaration, the Kohen Gadol, is so that this conclusion is avoided. People will understand it's not a function of the Sefer Torah is fine. It's just that we want to speed things along. Yeah. Gemara is going to ask that question. And then he reads from Parshas Pinchas by heart. So why not roll the Sefer Torah and read from Parshas Pinchas? Amar Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Shesh, Lefisha, Engolin, Sefer Torah, B'tzibor. Because you don't roll the Sefer Torah in front of the Tzibor. Meaning, going back to what we learned just yesterday, Kavod Tzibor, there's a certain reverence and honor that we need to have towards the Tzibor. You have to respect the Tzibor, respect their time. And we don't do it. We don't roll the Sefer Torah in front of the people. It's a lack of Kavod. V'leisi Sefer Torah, Achrina V'lekrei. Okay, Danny, your suggestion. Why not bring a second Sefer Torah? Ravuna bar Yehuda amar mishum pegamo shel rishon. It speaks poorly of the first Sefer Torah. Where we're bringing a second Sefer Torah, reading from the second Sefer Torah, it speaks poorly of the first. Now, if it bothers right now, because we know that we're going into a Shabbos, this coming Shabbos, where we're going to be taking out three Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, how can you? Gemara over here rejects taking a second one out because it speaks poorly of the first. Stay tuned. The Gemara is about to ask that question. Rabbi Shimon Malachi Shem Lefishem Avarchem Bracha Shein Tzricha. Reish Lakish says there's another issue, and that is that if you bring another Sefer Torah, it's going to demand a new bracha. Do we really need to make a new bracha? Meaning, no, and it's not. It's not a new aliyah. It's not. We're still reading the parsha of Yuma, of Yom Kippur. So it's not necessary. We should avoid brachas unnecessarily. So if we can do that, let's avoid it. So Reish Lakish says that's why we're not going to take out a new Sefer Torah, because had we taken out a new Sefer Torah, that would have demanded a new bracha. Umichayshin lapagam. The Gemara says this is really a concern that we're worried about pagam. You can't take out a second Sefer Torah because it speaks poorly of the first Sefer Torah. Va'amar Rabbi Chiya Navcha. Rosh Chodesh Teves, it's great. The Gemara is great. We're just in terms of timing. Rosh Chodesh Teves, Shechalios B'Shabbos. So let's imagine, just if you can, where you're going to have Rosh Chodesh Teves fall on Shabbos, and it's Hanukkah, obviously, because it's Rosh Chodesh Teves. So what do you do? Maybe Shol Shorot V'Kari. And you're going to take out three Sefer Torah, and you're going to read them. Minyan Shol Yom, I'm sorry. Achaz Minyan Shol Yom, Achaz Rosh Chodesh, V'Achad B'Shel Hanukkah. And the three Sefer Torah you're going to be reading are all going to be relevant to the day. The Parsha of the week, which is going to be Mikates, Rosh Chodesh, and Hanukkah. So, and no problem whatsoever, meaning taking out the second doesn't speak poorly about the first, taking out the third doesn't speak poorly about the second, nor the first. Didn't the Gemara say that we reject the idea of taking out a second Sefer Torah? So the Gemara's answer, which is very intuitive, probably figured out already, Talsa Gavri Mitalsa Sifrei like a Pagama. No, but those are separate aliyos. So we're going to call up one Ola for the, I mean, more than one, I know. But the Parsha is going to receive its aliyah, the Rosh Chodesh is going to receive its aliyah, and Chanukah is going to receive its aliyah, and there's three different people getting called up to the Torah. So there, if it's broken up into aliyah, so then there's no problem of the second speaking poorly of the first and the third speaking poorly of the second. Chai Gavra B'Chei Sifrei K'Pagama. However, when it's not a new aliyah, and the reading of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is not a new aliyah, those three parshiyos are all going to be included in one aliyah, so there you bring out a second Sefer Torah in the middle of the aliyah, so that speaks poorly of the first Sefer Torah. That's why the Gemara says a rejection of that suggestion. We're going to be making eight brachas. So the Gemara over here is going to give a little more detail regarding the eight brachas that are made by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So the Birchas HaTorah is going to be, the Gemara describes, as your standard bracha in Shul after an aliyah. Okay. Right, that's probably what the Gemara is describing over here. Certainly from Rashi, that's what it sounds like. Then, Al Ha'avoda ve'Al Ha'adova Ha'mechilas Avon Kitiknan. So, Al Ha'avoda, Ritzei. Hoda, Modim. Mechilas Avon, Rashi describes that to be the bracha in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei of Yom Kippur. Okay, the idea that Yom Kippur is a day of Mechilas Avon, forgiveness of our sin. Okay, ala mikdash b'fnei atzmo, ala kohan b'fnei atzman, ala yisrael b'fnei atzman, v'ala mikdash b'fnei atzmo. Really, we don't get much more detail regarding these additional brachas. All the Gemara tells us is that they are specific brachas for the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim, the Jewish people, and Yerushalayim. Okay, v'hashar tefillah. So Gemara does not provide much detail regarding brachas 5, 6, 7, and 8. And then the last two words of the Mishnah, v'hashar tefillah. And the rest of it is tefillah. Tanu Rabbanan, hashar tefillah, tchina, rina, bakasha, sha'amcha yisrael tzrichem livasheya. It's basically a supplication. Right, we're beseeching a Kadosh Baruch Hu that the Jewish people need salvation. V'chosem v'shomei tefillah. And the conclusion of this bracha is going to be shomei tefillah. And then what happens? Interesting, the Brisa describes that everyone is going to be bringing their own Sefer Torah, mitoch beso, v'karei bo, and they're going to be reading from the Sefer Torah, v'kokach, lama kedei laharis chazusol rabim, and basically it's to show off. Not show off, I don't mean show off to be ostentatious, obviously. To show off, Rashi describes, is basically, zekei livan vehu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is how we glorify you, this is how we have our own Sefer Torah, this is how beautiful our Sefer Torah is, his na elefanav b'mitzvos, we have to make our mitzvahs look presentable in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There is a very short Rashi over here, which could be a much lengthier discussion. How are they bringing their Sifrei Torah to the Beis HaMikdash? It's Yom Kippur, you're not like carrying Yom Kippur. So Rashi over here makes a couple suggestions in terms of the allowance of carrying the Sifrei Torah to the Ezros Nashim. Okay, in the meantime, however, we're going to go on. We're up to the next Mishnah, Parshas HaMelech. Okay, we have a mitzvah of Hakel. Okay, it's also the timing here is great. Not perfect, but it's great. And that, it's got to be during the year after the Shemitah year. Okay, that's where we are. And specifically on Sukkos. Okay, so it's a little bit past. 2 months overdue, if you will. But in terms of Daf Yomi, right, in terms of alignment, it's not terrible. It's pretty good. So Parshas HaMelech Ketzav. So we have the Parshas HaMelech. And we are describing now the mitzvah of Hakel, where in the year after the Shemitah year on Sukkos, we collect all the Jewish people, Anashim, Anashim, Vataf, men, women, children, and we bring them to the base of Mikdash, and the king is going to stand on a bima, on some platform, and he's going to be reading parts of the Sefer Torah. And that's what we're learning now in our Mishnah, and this is now the Parshas HaMelech. So Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. So on the day after the first day of Sukkos, Bashmini on the 8th. Now that's confusing, because if we 8th seemingly means the 8th day of Sukkos, but it can't be the 8th day of Sukkos, because we just learned after the first day, so that means it's the second day of Sukkos, otherwise known as the first day of Chol HaMoed. So stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to be bothered by what that number 8 is doing over here and how to understand the number 8. Then Motzei Shvi'is on the year after Shemitah, Osim Lo Bima Shel 8, so a platform of wood is made Ba'azara in the temple courtyard, V'hu Yoshev Aleha, and he sits on it, he meaning the king. And the Torah over here, at the end of the Torah, describes the mitzvah of Hakel at the end of the seventh year. Chazan Knesset Notel Sefer Torah, the Chazan of the Shul takes out the Sefer Torah, Venosan the Rosh HaKnesset, and hands it over to the Rosh HaKnesset. This should sound familiar. This is basically going to be a very similar procedure to what we learned in the previous Mishnah regarding the Kohen Gadol. Rosh HaKnesset Notel Eskan, Veskan Notel Kohen Gadol, Kohen Gadol Notel Melech. So here we have again a handoff. So going from the Gabbai to the Chazan HaKnesset, from the Chazan HaKnesset to the Skan, to the Kohen Gadol, to then the king. Okay, so five people are going to get touches on this handoff. So the king is then going to stand, receive, and he's going to read, Yoshev Agrippa Samelech, so I'm sorry, Vikori. Yoshev Agrippa Zamelech Amad Vikiba Vikara Amad Vikara Vikara Omein. Now, as far as Agrippa Zamelech is concerned, so he accepted the Sefer Torah while standing, and he read it while standing. Vishibchuhu Chachamim. And the Chachamim praised him. Stay tuned later, we're going to discuss who Agrippus was and the Hanifa that was involved in this. Actually, the Mishnah itself is going to describe some of the Hanifa, some of the flattery that was involved in this incident. Now, in Parsha Shoftim, which is part of the section that's read by the king during Hakel, so it says, one of the sections that's read is about the appointment of a king in Parsha Shoftim. And he gets to the section where it says, Lo sucha lases alecha ish nachri. You can't allow a foreigner, a stranger, to become the king. And Agrippa's had a questionable background. Again, we'll talk more about this later. Zalgu enav demaus. But the Mishnah describes now how as he was reading the words, the emotions caught him, and he started crying. And Amrulo altis yare Agrippas achinu ata, achinu ata. And the Chachamim said, you need not worry, Agrippas. You are a brother, you are a brother. Okay, and the Gemara later on is going to comment on this. We're going to stay tuned for the Gemara. Right, really, unbelievable discussion regarding this Mishnah. We'll come to that. V'karim mitchilas eila hadvarim. Now, sections of that are read by the king during Hakel. So, you start at the opening of Sefer Dvarim. You start with eila hadvarim ha-shma. And you get to the parsha of Shema. Okay, Perek Vav. Then v'shama v'hayayim shamoa, and then you're going to be reading sections. You're going to be reading sections of the Shema, and then hayayim shamoa, and aser ta'aser. We're jumping around, right? Aser ta'aser is already parshas re'ei, huh? Yeah. Kisechalel aser, and then Parshas Kisavo. U Parshas Hamelech and Parshas Shoftim, Berachos Uklalos. Back to Parshas Kisavo, we are jumping around. And you'll notice, I'll describe in just a moment, we're also not only jumping forwards, we're also jumping backwards. And previously we learned, hey, you're not allowed to do that. Ashigomakala Parsha. And then from brachos and klaus, meaning from Har Grizim and Har Eval, so you just get to the end. Bracha shekohen gadol mevarech osan hamelch mevarech, and then after reading, so then you have the brachos, just like we learned regarding the kohen gadol. So osan shalom. Mevarech osan el shenosin shavigalim tachas mechilas avon. But obviously, being that it's Sukkot and it's not Yom Kippur, so you don't make the bracha regarding mechilas avon, but you rather replace that. You substitute that with the bracha for Sukkot. Okay, much to discuss over here in this Mishnah. Just one Rashi I want to focus on. Shama v'hayam shamoa. The sections in Parshas Devarim that's read by the king. Rashi goes on to describe why these particular sections. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi v'hayam shamoa de dilug. We're jumping around, says Rashi. He's not reading all Sefer Devarim. Umishamadag laser taser, mishamadag vikari kisa chala laser, ubrachus uklos, umisham chosel mafreya, vikara asima alai melech. So, they are from the beginning of Devarim to Shema, then from Shema to Vehaya, then Aser to Aser, that's Parshas Rei. And then you go to Kisechalel Aser, that's the beginning of Parshas Kisavo. And then Brachus Uklalos, that's also in Kisavo. Umisham Chozel Mafer Vekor Asim Alay Melech. Then the Parsha of appointment of the king, that's backwards in Parshas Shoftim. And then Kabbalas Machu, I'm sorry. And now Rashi goes on to describe Shema Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. So first of all, we start with Shema because, we really start at the beginning of Dvarim, but the beginning of Dvarim to Shema because Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. And then Vayayim Shema Kabbalas All Mitzvos. Hayayim Shema is the acceptance of the mitzvos of the Torah. Kedamra Perpekshen de Brachos. And if you remember, the Gemara in Brachos, second parak describes. That's why we say Vayayim Vahaya. Sorry. That's why we say Shema Vahayim Shema. Shema is Om Malchus Shemayim, fundamental tenet of accepting a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then V'hayam Shemo, acceptance of the mitzvos. V'chein, brachos v'klalos, kabbalas briso shel Torah. And then we go to Har Grizim and Har Eval because that's bris. That's a covenant that's ratified between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu over the Torah. U'mashmei l'rabim aser ta'aser ki sechalel aser mimnei shu zman asif u'matanos anim. And why do we read sections from Parshas Re'eh and Vidui Meiser? Because, says Rashi, it is a time where we are gathering. We are now collecting our produce from the year. It's a reminder, an overt reminder, make sure to take care of the poor people. And also, in Aser Taser, there's also a reminder also that we need to take off Trumas and Maestros as well. The Alpha Bishop Marshals of Melch Mavsek has been Aser Lechis Techaleh, Koresel Eilo Yachesh, Olafsik Bemasros. Now, the reason why Re'eh and Kisavo are read back to back, even though we're jumping over Parshas HaMelech, right, which is in Parsha Shoftim, is because, says Rashi, we want to stay on topic. Meaning we want Trumas and Maestros and Matanos Ani, and we want all that together. And so Rashi says now, the thing which we just learned is being offended. We just learned in the previous Gemara that when jumping around in the Torah, you can't jump, you can't make such a long jump where there's not going to be a break in the Torgamon. Rashi says it's not a problem over here because there is no Torgamon. Rashi doesn't say why, but there is no Torgamon. So there is no Torgamon for the king, not during, not after. There's no Torgamon. And so therefore, there's no problem with jumping around. It's a little counterintuitive, this Rashi. Rashi is just simply stating a fact, meaning the Mishnah is describing, here's all the jumping around we're going to do. Rashi is giving the explanation why we're jumping around. Rashi is saying, because there's no Torgamon. But the explanation is kind of counterintuitive, because that Torgamon gave you like a little buffering time, like a little time to roll. Here, there is no Torgamon, therefore you can jump around wherever you want. Okay, it's a... But anyway, that's Rashi's explanation in terms of why it is that there's no we're not violating the rules that we learned just previously. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. We are on the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. We begin now the Gemara's discussion. Bashmini Sagadatcha. So the word Shmini is really difficult because again, what did the Mishnah say? This occurs the year after the Shemitah. Let me be more accurate. The Mishnah describes Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, the day after the first day of Yom Tov, on the eighth day. Well, it can't be the eighth day. Sarsakadacha ema bashminis. No, the word shmini should be changed to shminis, and that change, it changes everything. Why? Because the word shminis is now not a reference to a day, it's a reference now to the year. Meaning, what is it now? It's the eighth year. Going back to when we started counting Shemitah 8 years ago. Ah, so the Gemara says, v'chol ani lamali. So the Gemara says, yeah, but now, good, now we did a better job understanding what the word eight means. Eight is a reference to the year. But now the Mishnah is being a little bit redundant, because the Mishnah now says, let's read the Mishnah again, Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shachag, Bashminis, on the eighth year, B'motzei Shviyas, the year after seven. That's redundant. So the Gemara says, Tzrichadi, Kasav Rechman Amiketz, Havamina Nimnu Me'ashav Afag Avdolo Mitzrayim and B'Shemitah. Had it not been for the Achra of the Miketz, I would have thought that it's every 8 years, but it doesn't have to be congruent with the Shemitah cycle. So Kasav Rechman Shemitah. So that's why the Torah has to say Shemitah. Be Kasav Rechman Shemitah, Hava Amina Besov Shemitah. So, but if it would have said Shemitah, I might have thought it should be the end of Shemitah, meaning the Shemitah, the actual Shemitah year, Kasav Rechman B'Moed. So that's why it says Moed, meaning Sukkos. Be Kasav B'Moed, Hava Amina Mireish Asa. Now, if it said Sukkos, I might have thought, okay, Sukkos of the Shemitah year, the beginning of the Shemitah year. So Kasav Rechman B'Chaga Sukkos. Be Kasav Rechman B'Chaga Sukkos, Hava Amina Filo Yom Tov Acharon. Yeah, but if it just said Sukkos, I might have thought that it's the end of the Sukkos Yom Tov. Kasav Rechman Bevo Kol Yisrael Mi'aschalta Demoed. It's really the beginning of of Yom Tov, the beginning of Sukkos. So now, all the wording in the Mishnah is there to pinpoint exactly when it's to take place. It's to take place on the Sukkos of the eighth year, following the Shemitah cycle, which means the year after the Shemitah cycle, on Sukkos, on the beginning of Sukkos. Now, if it's really the beginning of Sukkos, so when should it really fundamentally take place? Day one of Sukkos. Why doesn't it take place on day one of Sukkos? The Gemara does not explain. We turn to Rashi. Rashi, the very top Rashi, Mem Aleph Amud Beis, Rashi writes, Me'emas demascha moed. Umihu, Rashi says, B'yom tov low. Nananyata she'ein tikun habima dokalo so Shabbos velo yom tov. So Rashi over here describes that the reason why it cannot be done the first day of Sukkos is because we have a bima that we need to construct. You can't construct the bima on Yom Tov. Now, the next part of Rashi should certainly bother you. Okay, so you can't do it on Yom Tov. You know, this occasion was coming. It was eight years in the making. Right before the Siyam HaShas. So I'm privileged to be included in a couple of conference calls of all the planning that's involved. You know it's coming. It's 7.5 years from now. So you know it's coming, so you plan. So over here, so you know it's coming, so you plan. Right? They're not waking up on the morning of the first day of Sukkot. Oh, what did you know, Hakel? So anyway, so Rashi over here says, so why not do it the day before? So umi esmol nami lo abdinan la didachka la azara. So Rashi says because of the traffic, meaning that what's going to, I mean that's what it is, that's what Rashi says, meaning that what happens is that if you build the bima on the day before, you're really going to be a terrible obstruction of traffic. Traffic over here, obviously, I mean I'm describing the people, the physical people in the azara. It's Yom Tov, it's Erev Yom Tov. There are tons of people there, so you're going to create a bima. It's really going to stop the flow. Now, as far as where I got all this from, says Rashi, I got it from the Gemara Yerushalmi. B'Maseches Megillah Diktani Hakami Ma'akrin Kishe. Okay, so if Phil were here, he would help me with that next word in Rashi. Anyway, but the basic idea is that it just logistically can't be done. So theoretically, says Rashi, we would have loved to have done this really on the first day of Sukkos, but it's just a practical issue. It's a halachic and a practical issue. Halachic issue, you can't build the bima on Yom Tov. Practical issue, you can't build it the day before Yom Tov. So really, your only first opportunity to do it is going to be on the first day of Chol HaMoed. Okay.
But the thing is, they're
going to
get bigger.
Yeah, right.
It would finish it in one day.
I guess, meaning that my imagination describes to me that the night before they would start, and then they would be right. But the next morning, it'd be done. Okay, let's do a little bit more.
Oh, no, so, traffic issue.
Uh huh. I guess I hear you. Just presenting the, you know, what seems to be the facts. Okay, the Chazan Knesset notes say Vitor Vnos and Rosh Knesset. Okay, this discussion should sound familiar. Shema Mina Chol can cover the Tamid b'Makom Rav. So again, the Gemara makes another attempt to deduce from our Mishnah that you can give honor to the second and the third in command, even though the first one is right there. Sounds like you can. Again, it's the Gemara in Baba Basra Kufyates, where the Gemara there has a debate. Over here, our Mishnah seems to give the approval. Amar Abayi Kula Mishum Kvod V'Demelech, and Abayi's answer is the same answer that he gave on the previous Mishnah, which is not necessarily. It could very well be that the honor that we're giving is really to the king, and we're basically showing, look who's under the king: the Kohen, the Skan, the Chazan and Knesses, okay, now all these people are underneath the king. V'Amelchamin Mekabav V'Korav Yosef V'Gripas Amelch Amid V'Kibav V'Korav Omeid. So the king gets to sit. Omeid Mechlad Yosef V'Amamar Yeshiva Bazar Alamachi Beis David Bilvad Shenemar V'Yavah Amelch David V'Yeshav V'Nei Hashem V'Yomer. Excuse me, Kedamar of Chista Bezos Nashim, Hachanami Bezos Nashim. So the Gemara gives an answer that it is this took place in the Ezra Sanashim. Now it should bother you, meaning this is not the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah we were talking about the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sit. In this Mishnah we're talking about the king. What's the Gemara even asking? The Gemara says, hey, you know, you're not allowed to sit unless you're the king. That's what we're talking about the king right now. Why is the Gemara asking this question? So you take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, because we're not describing, again, this is so timely, we're not describing the king from Malchi Yehuda. The dispensation to sit in the Azara was given to Malchi Yehuda. Malchi Yehuda are allowed to sit because they are the permanent, everlasting Malchus of the Jewish people. But we're not describing Malchus Yehuda right now in our Mishnah. We're describing Agrippus. Agrippus comes from Beit Chashmonai. So, again, his lineage to begin with is questionable, but even if it weren't questionable, even if he was from the Kohanim, that's not Malchus Beis David, meaning one of the tensions of Hanukkah is that on one hand the Chashmonaim beat the Greeks, beat the Misyavnim, rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, all well and good, all great, meaning we have a Yontif remembering it, but at the same time, however, they also took over the Melucha, they took over the Malchus, and they're not from Shevet Yehuda, and should they have done that? And the Ramban and Chumash says no. Ramban next week's Parsha, two more. And Parshas Vayechi, the Ramban over there says, no, they should not have taken over the Malchus. That was not right. So, but in the meantime, okay, all just very important information, but in the meantime, however, Rashi's explaining, that's what bothers our Gemara right now. Had it been a Melech from Malchi Yehuda, of course you're allowed to sit in the Azara. That's the person who's allowed to sit in the Azara. But when we're talking about Agrippus and the description of Agrippus standing, meaning that he sat previously, how can he do that? So that's what bothered the Gemara, and the answer was Ezra Snashim, is where he was allowed to do that. Did I finish reading the Gemara? Right? Yeah, I did. Hachanam Bezos Nashim. Okay. We'll stop over here tomorrow. Shabchu Chachamim. So tomorrow we'll start off with a discussion of Agrippus, who he was, his emotional reaction to reading of the Parshas HaMelech. Okay, all that we'll start with tomorrow.